Ready?
Ready.
All right. Welcome back to Spear Squared. I'm Andrew Darrington, your host. Tonight, we come to you in Tyler, Texas, here at Truvine Brewery. Thanks so much for being a host and a sponsor of ours. Along with Truvine, we've got Rex Consulting, we've got Red Construction, we've got The Vaults, we've got Hoot Holler, we've got The Humidor, and we've got Goosehead Insurance. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring us for this content. We know it's not the most trendy and all that good stuff, but we think we're doing something great, and I really appreciate you guys getting behind it. But before we get started, I have a little mermaids and unicorns. Thank you so much, Tracy and Ryan, for letting us have this venue. Without further ado, we've got Savannah Loy here, and we've got Bam Walker, right?
Yes, sir.
So it's complicated. It's not just simple what you do. You've done a lot of things amongst the community and all that good stuff. We'll get to you here in just a second. Savannah, you've been a 911 dispatcher. You've done a little bit of hostage negotiation. You've been a principal. But tonight we're going to talk a lot about this book that we have in front of us. You're an author. You're a local author for us. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, where you came from, you know, and what childhood was. And we'll get to you here in just a second. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay, so for me, childhood was rough. And
yeah.
I always look at any situation and go, I may have had it bad, but somebody else always has it worse.
Yeah.
I try really not to dwell on that. But when I was a kid, I just remember thinking, man, this is really bad. Like, this can't be like what life is intended to be, because there was just a lot of poverty, a lot of trauma, a lot of my brothers went through some sexual abuse from a close friend, and it just carried over. CPS was involved in our family a lot. It was just absentee father. It was just really, really bad. Absentee stepfather. My actual father was hit by a drunk driver and paralyzed from the neck down.
When
I was born, so we didn't really have a relationship. So just a lot of layers. And I just remember my go-to would be reading. I just read a lot. And because it just provided what everybody says reading does, it's just a good escape. And I just remember reading those Boxcar Children in my favorite books. I actually have and collecting them now to just remind me to keep going. And I just remember reading and thinking, well, that feels normal. That feels like a normal life. And I
right.
just for a second forget what childhood was like. And so that's kind of how I grew up. But I did tell myself early on that there's a choice. Your life can be what you want it to be. Circumstances don't have to dictate your future. And so I did decide early on that I was determined to make something of myself and be something that my future children would be proud of, my husband would be proud of, my community would be proud of, and actually go and do something productive with my life. So it's kind of how shaped everything that I've been involved in is really a tribulation to my childhood, and so are my books. So I'm not mad at the life that I had. It's made me who I am, and I wouldn't have seen and done some of the incredible things and experienced some of the incredible people I have if it hadn't have happened. But that's kind of how we got to this. I always wanted to author since I was 9. I didn't think that I would be able to do it. And 2.5 years ago, I said, okay, we're going to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You met your husband at 16-ish?
Yeah. 16-ish. I had just turned 16.
Yeah.
In Longview, and it was just a friend of a friend of a friend. It's a wild story. I think it's a God blood story.
Yeah.
We just became fast friends, and he was 19 when I met him, and I remember specifically he was living in Iowa, and he's like, you know, you're cute, but you're also jailbait, so you and I are never going to be a thing.
Right.
You met Jordan now. And I was like, and he also was like, and I'm never moving back to Texas. I hate Texas. Iowa's my place. So we just became friends, like truly friends. In fact, we didn't even have our first date till I was 23.
Oh, wow.
So we were just friends.
How do you do that? Long distance?
Just phone calls.
Phone calls,
yeah. And we come and visit his family. His family lived out.
MySpace back then, I guess,
yes,
or something.
That's actually talking
okay.
to a friend of his friend on my
way. Okay.
I was a student council vice president, and my job was to make sure all of the kids felt welcome at our school.
Yeah.
And so I was actually talking to a new kid. Hey, are you feeling good? And he's like, hey, one of my friends is supposed to be going on a date with you. I'm like, that's weird. I don't, what? And then he's like, do you know this guy? I was like, I know his name. My friend is trying to make that happen. I don't know if I've said yes yet. And he's like, okay. And then another guy got on. He's like, hi, I'm Jordan. I'm like, I don't know a Jordan. And he's like, no, this other guy's my friend too. You want to do a date? Let's go to the mall together. So he was trying to set his friend up.
Right.
It'd be a good wingman.
Yeah, he was going to school there?
No,
yeah.
He was just visiting his family.
He was gotcha.
So anyway, so they came over and we went to the mall with my brother, and I just remember the guys walked in. I only knew one of them. And I saw the Jordan, now my husband. I was like, sees the other guy. Sees the other. Yeah. Oh, I'm Jordan. I'm like, dang. That means this is the other guy.
Right.
It did not hit off with me and the other guy, but Jordan and I just became fast friends and literally just friends into adulthood. So.
And you guys went down the foster path.
We did.
You have six?
We do.
Six kids.
We do.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. Three was my max.
Okay.
But I have PCOS. Women don't really talk about that. But it basically prevented me from having children.
Gotcha.
When I was 13, the doctor told me that probably wouldn't have kids.
Right.
And at 13, I wasn't thinking about being a mother. That was the last time. I was like, you don't know anything.
Right.
Until we were married and trying. So we tried for 5 years. We were not able to. And we had already talked before we were married that I would love to adopt a kid.
Yeah, for sure.
I went through CPA.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
so many kids that need that. So we were like, yeah, let's just do that route. And so I went for one kid. I was like, one boy, one girl will be done. Adopted one boy. It was a horrible process. Like, just so that's a whole different podcast. And I'm going to rewrite foster care law. Just mark it. You'll see one day.
Right.
But anyways, we did that. Then we got our second kid through the agency. It was another boy. And I'm like, man, I don't want any boys. Y'all stop with this. And we adopted the two. We were done, happy, content. I really wanted a girl, but I was like, you know, it's okay. And then I wound up pregnant. And it was a boy. I was like, you got to freaking be kidding me.
What?
Yep, I did.
Miracle child.
I was not. And it's so funny because the way we found out we were pregnant, too much information, but my body had been doing what it should. And I knew my body wouldn't continue to do that. And I didn't want to take another failed pregnancy test because I've taken 72. And it was very depressing.
Pretty sure it's a good number.
And I kept up with it because that's just how much it makes you feel like
sure,
when you're a lady. And so I told myself, this doesn't make any sense, but I told myself, okay, take a pregnancy now. And when you're not pregnant, you won't be sad tomorrow when you think you may be pregnant. That was my thought process.
Sure.
I took the test, set it on the table, went and got my boys ready. We were dancing in their room to Disney. My husband walked in. You're pregnant? I'm like, no, I'm not pregnant. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, it says you're pregnant. I'm like, it's a bad test. I was in denial. I was like, I'm not. So I explained it to him. And so he made me go take three tests. And I was pregnant with my son. So.
Wow. Okay. So not all six are
just
fosters.
Five of them are.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow.
After that, we had a really bad pregnancy. We both did not do well delivering. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'll do that again. Thank you for the miracle. There's lots of kids that need a home. So
yeah, for sure.
So we went back to the adoption route.
My son is, you met my wife earlier. Uh-huh. And so I met them when he was 1.5. And then we dated for quite a while because it was both of our second marriages or kind of getting into the marriage phase. And then we married, and then luckily, not for the biological dad, he had signed his rights away, and I don't think I could have dealt with that, but I ended up adopted him at 13,
because
I wanted him to know what he was doing. And so, I adopt him, and then we go to a football game, and I had a jersey made with my name on the back. Oh, it was like one of my favorite memories of all time.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. All right, Bam, what are you doing here?
Oh, the guest of the guest, I guess.
Bam, you own a company with your wife, Nortex?
Correct.
Right? And you guys do some pretty cool stuff. What do you guys do?
Well, Nortex, we specialize in carpet cleaning, water restoration. We do gross fill thwarting, pretty much you call, and we'll try to figure it out for you.
Clean up.
I do crime scene cleanups for the company. That's my main avenue
for
the company.
Okay.
I kind of head over all that kind of stuff. And the wife does the other part, but she's been in it for 20 years now. We're local. We're a small time kind of mom and pop, not franchised. And we're here for this type of stuff, the local type of community.
Yeah.
Take care of people. And we have what we call, the freeze a few years ago.
Yeah.
For us, all the pipes and Tyler busted.
Right.
So we're out there, doing the best we can to help and get to everybody. And my wife crying in the middle of the night, going 24 hours straight, phone call, because we don't have a service that answers the phone for us. She answers it in the middle of the night.
Right.
Everyone was calling. We're just a company that wants to give. I mean, of course, we have to make money.
You have to make money.
We have to work money. I mean,
you have to provide.
We really take pride in hearing somebody's story or hearing somebody say, man, we've tried everything. We don't know this. I'm like, you haven't tried us.
Right.
Let me come out there and get some of my personality onto it, some of my own personal experience.
Right.
I fixed jobs for other people before. I'm not going to name names, but we fixed those jobs before, and I didn't charge them a dime.
Right.
Just to say, hey, do you mind giving us a review on our thing and help
our future business, bro?
Yeah. And
referrals.
Yeah, referral, future business. We've gotten people. That's how we get most of our. We don't want, you don't see Nortex ads out there. We don't have selling ads. We don't have anything.
Right.
So it's word of mouth, which is usually a good thing.
Yeah.
So all of our clientele has come from somewhere where somebody had a positive experience. We hope to keep that going.
Yeah.
I think we've done a pretty good job so far, and we plan on doing that for the foreseeable future. So
that's awesome. Yeah. How long has Nortex been in business?
I believe my wife's father started it in the Dallas area. That's why it's called Nortex. We got E-Tex or East.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, he started the Dallas area, him and a friend, I want to say in the mid 80s. So, you know, it was 35 years old. He came down here. It didn't split up, but, you know, he branched off and came down here, started it here, grew it, you know, from Tyler. Now we're, you know, Tyler and all of East Texas, Longview, we were Kilgore, wherever. And he's still up there. So it just branched out. And now he's gone through, a myriad of things. He's wrecked a plane. He's been through cancer. He's been through it all. So my wife and I, he's also stubborn because he didn't give us the business. He said,
you're going to buy.
He's going to be the boss unless we buy the business. So we're still paying for that business.
Well, okay.
Which is fine because I don't like things to be handed to me.
Yeah, he's either.
So I feel some kind of, you know,
nothing value is given, right?
So we're you know, letting him live a healthy life while we take over the business for him and let him, you know, live out the rest of his days doing whatever he wants to do. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, we're here just for the local people, and we're going to continue to be that.
Yeah. All right, back to Savannah, okay? We'll talk about you here in just a minute. But, all right, so the main reason we're here is to talk about your book, Jedediah Walker. This is a serial killer series, part one. We're going to have five,
yes.
Right, total,
yes.
That are all going to kind of involve East Texas, right, mostly?
Yes.
Okay, so all East Texas.
Yes.
And these are going to be stories, mostly murder mystery?
Yeah, all of them.
All
psychological thrillers.
Psychological thrillers,
so
okay.
The tie between all five will be the FBI duo that's spotlighted in the book.
Okay.
They are going to be throughout the entire book.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this book. Some of the themes that were listed were love, family, faith, and healing. Talk to us a little bit. I mean, we're going to go into some details a little bit, but why were some of the pillars that you picked to focus on this book?
Because those were more me. Those were what I needed for the book to be out. So that book being published kind of brought all that for me. It kind of just put a close for all of the pain and stuff that I dealt with, because this is based off of true things that happened in my childhood.
Okay.
So.
Form of therapy?
Yeah, there was things that I thought that I had already let go of. And actually what happened was, and I won't say who to protect him, but one of my kid brothers popped back up in my life.
Okay.
After 20 years.
Yeah.
And it sent me off the rails. And I didn't think that it was going to. Well, first of all, I never played that out in my head, but I thought that I was in a place where I had processed everything and I was completely okay. I mean, I was functioning. I'm holding down a, you know, cleese job. I mean, I'm running a school. I'm fine. And I was fine. But when he surfaced up, it was just like, oh, maybe I'm not fine.
Yeah.
So writing this, and it was kind of funny. We joked at the table and I was like, you know, it'd be funny as if I go through with this meeting with this brother and XYZ, 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 and then plot twist. And then my family started laughing. I was like, wait, no, that would be a good book. That would be a really good book.
Yeah.
And so.
Is that how stress works for you? When you get stressed, do you turn it into a book?
No, when I get stressed, I clean.
Okay.
I think I stay stressed because all I do is clean in my spare time. No, I don't think.
Well, you have chickens. You breed dogs too.
Our chickens are gone now. The storm's.
Oh, your chickens. Oh.
We did raise some breeding chickens to eat. So they're still in our. Those are still in our deep freezer. But with that last big storm we had in last July, like at our farms,
okay.
took our goat barn down, took our chickens down, killed a bunch of.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was sad. We still have four dogs, so. Four dogs, six kids. It's enough. And my parents look at me. So that's enough people in our home. But yeah, that book brought out all those attributes for me. And there's themes in this book that as the book progresses, you'll see those themes kind of come to play for the characters. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, they're based off of my brothers, my childhood, me, we're all in that book. And unless you look at my house, you wouldn't know that. You're just reading characters. But for me, I was writing out my own story.
Mm-hmm.
The Humidor is your online cigar retailing headquarters. Our experienced staff has spent years finding some of the best cigars from around the world to sell to our customers. If you're looking for an online cigar store that can help you find your next favorite smoke, welcome to the Humidor. We began the Humidor because of our deep appreciation of the finer things in life, a good conversation with friends, an aged whiskey, and, of course, a fine smoke. That's why, in addition to selling premium cigars online, we also operate a brick-and-mortar cigar lounge in Tyler, Texas. Our lounge is crafted to provide a classic ambience with modern sensibilities, and we've spent time ensuring that smokers and non-smokers have an enjoyable experience, whether they're there for a drink with friends or to enjoy the game.
When you're in East Texas, there's one name you have to know. Stanley's famous Pit Bar BQ in Tyler. Since 1960, Stanley's has been smoking up award-winning brisket, fall-off-the-bone ribs, and creative sandwiches like the legendary Mother Clucker. It's not just barbecue, it's an experience. Cold craft beer, over 90 whiskeys, and live music in a laid-back backyard vibe. Locals love it. Legends play here, and your taste buds will thank you. Come hungry, leave happy. Find them on Beckham Avenue or at stanleysfamous.com.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you in need of some top-notch libations to elevate your next gathering? Look no further than Hoot & Holler Liquor Store in Gun Barrel City, your go-to liquor store for quality drinks. From smooth bourbons to crisp wines and everything in between, Hoot & Holler has one of the largest and most diverse selections in East Texas. Planning a special occasion? Let our experts guide you to the perfect bottle. You'll receive excellent customer service not offered in the big box chains. Visit Hoot & Holler today and let the good times flow.
Very cool. We already talked about how, you know, some of the books is your own experiences. Is there any one particular experience that comes to mind that is the most real, that where you're writing, you're like, I live this?
Yeah, I can't give away the plot twist because you actually won't find it out till book four, which is actually the biggest plot twist. But I would say a lot of...
Well, how about you just talk about what happened in real life and then...
Well, I can't because that's what it's...
Oh, it's going to... It's okay.
That's what it's for.
So it's kind of parallel.
Yeah, nobody's going to... I don't think he was going to pick up on it, not the way that I wrote it.
Okay.
But I would say his character is completely based off of him, with the things mentally that his character goes through and the things that kind of... Some of the reactions he has, some of the way he processes, some of the things that he does, they are... one of my family members and some of the things that they did and some things we went through.
God, they cleaned up murder.
Now, that was specifically written for him.
Murder scenes too, or?
But some of the
anger, tragic scenes, I guess.
Some of the collections of things, yeah. The tendencies, and there's some characters and there's some scenes that are written in there. I will say there was a specific scene when I was a kid that I was, one of my brothers stabbed me in the leg.
Okay.
Because I told him he had to do his homework because of the homestead and mom wasn't there. And he took his pencil and jammed it right through my jeans into my leg. And that was pretty traumatic for me. And so just more of the emotions that I felt living in that type of feeling is put into this book.
Gotcha.
And so sometimes writing it was too real for my mom too. My mom has not finished reading this book because she said it just puts her back too much. So this is one book of mine she's not been able to finish yet.
You, before we started the podcast, you said that it took you 7 days to finish this book. But that included 3 days that you had to take a break.
Yeah.
What was there? Could you share what it was that made you take a break?
Yeah, there's a scene that I write in there, and the main character, he feels like he's hallucinating. He feels like it's just got to be a bad dream. And there's just this little girl, and it's just a really creepy scene where she's talking to him. But what that little girl will wind up representing that nobody knows yet was the part that was the most triggering for me, because what that little girl represents is the whole reason that my childhood was so bad. And as I was writing that scene with her, it just, not that I had a little girl that was creepy in my life, right? That's not what I'm saying, but just what she embodied, and I know what she's going to be at the end of this book reveal, knowing that that's kind of what made my life such a living, horrible life, it was so hard just to write her scene. So I started writing it. I got so creeped out by myself. Like, I literally, it was late at night. It was 2 o'clock in the morning and nobody was up. And I was like, I can't do this. And I just...
Were you worried about like how dark you were able to get?
I just didn't want to live it again.
Yeah.
I guess I just didn't want to... I mean, I had thought about...
It wasn't therapy at that point.
No, it was... I mean, I guess probably it was because it made me unpackage.
Right.
I guess I had shoved really down. You know, and I've told my story. People know about the situation. So if they really thought hard enough, they would know what this book is about. And when I public speak, I've shared parts of my story.
Sure, sure.
You know, all of that. But it was different. Like, I knew what I was getting into when I written the book, but it was different trying to put myself back in that place, because when I write, I put myself in the scene.
Yeah.
So putting myself physically back there, mentally back there, it was just too much. I didn't have anybody to bounce off, like, hey, you're okay, it's okay. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody's asleep, and I was like, I just can't. And so for 3 days I was
so put you in a three-day remission.
I was so haunted by it. I didn't want to go back to the scene, and I knew I couldn't finish my book because I had to go. I don't write out of order, I write straight through.
Okay.
And to this point, this was book number four that I had written.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I had never stopped. When I write books, I write one chapter start to finish. I don't edit, I don't do anything. I just close it and I'm done and I moved on. So it had never happened to me where I stopped in a book. So I was like, oh, but I do this.
Yeah.
And I just, every time I would think I need to go write and you go finish this book deadline, I was like, oh, I'm in that scene, I can't do it. I couldn't do it. Took me 3 days to just man up and go get it done. So
right. Oh, well, that takes me to my next question. Did you know the ending and all the twists from the beginning?
Yes, we did.
At the very beginning?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Did you have it partially written before you met Bam?
No. Nope.
Okay, so you met Bam first.
I met all of the models together at my house at the same time.
But you had a kind of a genesis of what you were going to do.
All five books.
Okay.
I wanted them to know what they were getting into in subject matters, and this is how it's going to play out, and there's some mental health things that are going to be talked about, and this is where it's going to go, and are you okay being attached to that, because it's a betrayal, your face is on it.
Right.
I just needed to know up front that they were all going to be okay.
And then all of them tell their story, and then you tie it into the book?
No, he's the only one that I'm going to write the character after him, because dupes his crime scenes for a living.
Yeah.
It wrote it, so I mean, you know what I mean, like this, and no, so the rest of them, we'll have stories that are not related to them at all.
There's like a Dexter feel to parts of the book.
Yeah.
Do you agree? I mean, you're kind of like, okay, well, wait a minute.
I've seen Dexter, but I know the premise.
Okay, you never seen it?
No.
Oh,
I can't do blood.
Okay. Oh, it's fake blood.
Kind of, but I still can't. No, my husband loves it. Loves all of it. Loves the new Dexter, all that, but I just can't sit and watch it. I can write it. I can't read it or watch it.
Right.
I don't know, buddy. I know in my family and friends feel like that. After they're done, they're always like, it reminds me of Dexter. And like, everybody says the same.
Yeah. All right, I got a couple more questions and I'll get to you.
Oh, okay,
promise. What character in the book was the most challenging or most rewarding to write about?
I mean, I think it's Bam's character, Jedediah, just because what he's going through is so real. Because I don't ever... In any of my books, the villain is never just a bad guy, right? It's usually their family or something has happened.
Sure.
Some family, something has set them on this path. And I feel like in general, most people that are this type of person, something has put them there. And that it already has a choice, but something mentally has driven them to that point. So I think his was hard to write because several things. One, I wanted to layer him that way. Like, I want you to feel bad for my villain at the end. You know, not giving him an excuse, but I want you to feel bad for him because I want him to be humanistic.
Sure.
Also accuracy. I wanted what he does to be accurate. We collaborated. I would reach out to him and be like, hey, if you were going to kill somebody with this piece of cleaning equipment, how would you do this? So there's a lot of collaboration there, and I really wanted to just do what he does justice and make it really authentic. And I think I write fiction, but I try to make realistic fiction, and that always makes it more complicated. It just does.
Yeah.
You can just make anything if you want and call it fiction, and you can do that, but I want it to feel real.
Now you got this author calling you, trying to get an idea of like what the best way to slice somebody up and clean up the scene and all that. I mean, that's got to feel a little jaded, right?
I mean, I'm one of those people's down for whatever. I can wing just about anything. But that one was new for me. So I had somebody reach up, say, hey,
if you were gonna do
that, you know, as I'm probably planning a crime scene or something.
How did you do it?
So how did you catch wind of the kind of the call
of the story
to, you know, be a model, or is it a model, or
okay, model star?
That is under my belt now. So
that's what it was.
Was it on Facebook or
okay? Things tiny, right?
I'll say okay, cool.
You say it was model call. Yeah. That's what I said.
Well, yeah, but the funny part about the whole story is my wife Heidi Walker. Shout out to her. She said I had to. She reached out to me as a joke. He said, hey, there's a model ad in here for somebody your age and kind of bigger guy, whatever. And this character didn't exist. So it wasn't for this character, it's for the sheriff, right?
No, it was a different character. It was going to be the main character energy.
And as a gag back to my wife, I was like, I'm going to send in headshots and write out the thing and just do it. Just to do it. I don't know, just to see, maybe, who knows what would happen. And I did. And I wrote on there, hey, my name's Bam. I clean crime scenes for a living, which is already, you know, kind of maybe on fire a little bit. So I was like, that's cool. But I also got close to 70,000 followers on TikTok. So that'll help maybe sway something a little bit. And I think the next day I got a call. So I was like, I must have worked a little bit. So as a gag.
Bro said, I remember, I'll never forget this. I knew I should have put it in my book. He said, hear me out, I'm not a model.
Right.
Yeah, that was the entrance to my email. He's like, I'm not a model. Hear me out. Like, I got an idea. So I was like, okay, I'm down. Look close in. Let's see what you're talking about.
I get mad twice a year.
It was so fun. Like, I'm not a model. It was just so funny because I put out a model fall, right? Yeah. And that's what he led with in his email. And I was like, okay. She missed it.
Exactly what I want to hear from a model.
Not a model.
I don't know what you're looking for, but.
Yeah, right. I wanted a huskier guy for the FBI role.
Okay.
Kind of more build, like huskier, bigger guy. I didn't want, everybody wanted to look a little bit different, feel a little bit raw, a little bit authentic, a little bit unsuspecting. And so I had very specific things that I wanted. So when he said that, so I switched everything and made, yeah, he wasn't main character, but he showed up with main character.
Jedediah and Jonah, both pretty strong biblical names. Were those intentional?
No, and you know, naming characters, it's the hardest thing that I do.
Yeah.
Because I'll run through names, I'm like, oh crap, I know that person, or oh shoot, I can't write about that one, or oh, I've already written that character. So
right.
Coming up with names is the hardest. And so honestly, if a name sticks in and it's not somebody I know, that's the name that happened.
Okay.
So there's no, as I'm writing,
because you're not writing a poem or like a, you know, trying to rhyme it or something.
As I write scenes, if a name goes out of my fingertips and it's not somebody I know, that's it. We're going to be, except for him. I mean, Jedediah Walker, Bam Walker, rode to him.
Right.
Same thing with the...
I didn't know. I mean, obviously, you can look at it and you're like, okay, there's got to be a motivator there.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
No, names are just random.
Cool. You know, what was it like for you guys to meet first?
Well, the first thing I remember, other than our little thing on Messenger after I email, I guess, first, and then Messenger eventually, was me walking through Walmart and her saying, hey, can I call you real quick? And I never talked to her at all before at this point. I was like, sure. She's like, hey, I have an idea. Are you down? I was like, yeah. That was the first call. It was just from there, it was just boom, 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 this whole story.
Right.
As I'm walking through Walmart, I was like, sounds good. But then we had a little meetup at their house. We all met each other for the first time. It's wild to me because I'm around, you know, model-esque people and people that have been in this type of industry for a while and stuff. And then here I am, the crime scene cleaner. But I remember the first time I told them what I did after everybody got through theirs. Everybody's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
So that was a whole, you know, another experience in its own. But yeah, I mean, she from the beginning was very, you know, forthcoming with everything and how it was going to work and why. And, you know, I got to watch what I say because there's certain things that don't need to come out. But everything just, I was like, this is all fantasy in my brain, but I can see it playing out and I can like almost see it myself how it's going to play out. And so far, it's kind of doing that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so on air first, so you're not killing anybody yet.
No, not like the, you know, John Wick style thing.
Yeah, you're not cleaning up anything.
No,
not yet. All right. We already talked a little bit about, you already talked about a scene that was, What scene was most rewarding to write? You already talked about the hard scene.
The scene that was most rewarding was the end.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, just knowing that I did it.
Yeah.
So, like, now I have no apprehension for the rest of the books. I have no emotional stress going into it. I'm excited about it. So just knowing that I was like done with it.
You finished it in 23?
Yeah, the end of 20. What is where we are now? 25? Oh, yeah, end of 23, I think.
23, yes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
If you are looking for a reputable builder with a proven track record and a client base to back it up, give Red Construction and Development LLC a call. Red Construction offers full design build services for new construction, custom homes, and remodeling with free site evaluations. They have an A-plus rating with the BBB and are proud members of the Tyler Area Builders Association, Texas Association of Builders, National Association of Home Builders, and the Lyndale Area Chamber of Commerce. Red Construction and Development LLC stands behind the exceptional quality of their work and have the expertise, the resources, and dedication to deliver the results you need on time and on budget. To learn more, give them a call at 903-630-8660 or visit them online at redconstructiondevelopment.com.
Vault Arms is your premier destination for all things firearms. Extensive selection of handguns, rifles, shotguns, and accessories. Knowledgeable staff to assist you in finding the perfect firearm to fit your needs. State-of-the-art gun range equipped with the latest technology for a safe and thrilling shooting experience. Take advantage of our professional shooting instruction and training programs suitable for all skill levels. Host your next group outing, corporate event, or bachelor party at our spacious and secure shooting facility. Committed to promoting responsible gun ownership and firearm safety. Fully licensed and compliant with all state and federal regulations.
All right, what message or feeling do you hope readers walk away with when they read this?
Honestly, I want them to be confused.
Yeah.
So I want them to watch.
I agree.
Makes one.
Yeah.
I don't want them to have the reaction my husband did where he's like, can't believe you did that. I'm never reading the rest of them. But I want them to be confused. I want them to be intrigued. But honestly, I just hope that when they're done, they feel like whatever is going on in their life, even if it was just a long day with the kids, like they feel like they got that little bit of escape, because truly that's what I write for.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do what books did for me for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I hope they get from it. And of course, a good story. And then when it's all said and done, there'll be a big plug for mental health and things like that in the end. Then you finally find out like what actually is going on in these books. So not that I think that anybody who's going through what my family went through is going to benefit from the book, because what we went through, I mean, you need actual mental health counseling. You know, reading a book is not going to help you with that.
Right.
But yeah, that's really just it. Escape and then the mental health plug at the end. I'll have resources and things like that listed in the book that if they are going through things, this is where they can reach out to.
Do we have a title to number two?
They're all the SK series. It will just all be case number one and then the character, case number two.
What's the character number two?
The killer. I don't remember his name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Put you on the spot.
I don't remember their names. It's all written in my computer. It's twins.
Okay.
They'll be twin killers that are awkwardly, uncomfortably close to each other.
Right. I see that.
Yeah.
They didn't look like twins.
No.
They look
they're definitely not brother and sister. So it'll have that weird element.
Okay.
There's mental health issues that are going to be in every single book when it's all said and done. You'll be able to go back and go, oh, he had this mental health disorder. Oh, they had this.
So have you started the framework or that one?
Yeah, they're all done.
Oh, they're all done.
I have all the outlines for all of them. I just written the text. I have the start, finish, end of all of them, the characters' names, what's going to happen, how many chapters they're going to have. I have all of it done.
So before we started the podcast, you said that you kind of just go into a hotel room and spend 2 days. You said normally 48 hours to 72 hours.
Yeah.
When does that happen?
Just whenever I can carve out time to do it.
Okay.
Just being running. I run a marketing agency. I have 6 kids.
Yeah.
I'm a book coach. I speak. I'm involved in my church. So truly, and usually what happens is I'm like, you know, it's been too long. I need to do more author stuff.
Yeah.
Our life went really bad in 2024. A lot of life happened and we just couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
That's all kind of resolved itself. So
yeah, that's good.
Author game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Pushing and
congrats.
Make things happen. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
So
life happens like that.
It was a bomb. Like it was really bad.
Yeah.
So, but usually I'll just go, you know what? I need to have a book out. I haven't had a book out. Family, when can we rally with these kids and let me escape for... In fact, my second book is dedicated to the Baymont Inn because they comped my room for 3 days to allow me to go write.
Awesome.
And so I have dedicated my second book to the Baymont Inn in Tyler.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool.
So it's just when I can fit.
Do you have someone that edits and copyrights and all that good stuff? Okay, yeah. So you already have that set up.
I have a team of editors.
Are they pushing for you to like, hey, when's the next one? You know.
Well, because they know me.
Okay.
They know.
Are they based out of Dallas or?
No, actually, I have a hybrid company that I work with, Global Book. They're in Canada, actually.
Nice.
So it's a team of editors up there. They do my cover. All of that. Bam actually did the voice for my book trailer, though.
Oh, nice.
Sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was my voice actor for that. So, yeah, he said he'll do whatever if he's down to whatever.
Yeah, maybe he could be the audio. He could do the audio.
Yes.
Do the audio book. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's okay to do that one. Yeah. So, no, his voice is 10 out of 10 for it.
Yeah.
He can do voice acting.
Yeah, for sure.
You can hire him now if you want to.
Right. But
for voice acting. So.
Very cool. All right, so let's, in a fantasy land, which may happen, let's say this ends up being on screen.
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like? Who does what?
So my dream, and I told all of them this from the jump, my dream for all my books is either a TV series, I actually would probably want that word in a movie, but anyways, or a movie. And if that happens, I want to maintain some type of I would rather maintain more creative liberty than I would a paycheck. Truly,
you
could pay me less and let me have creative freedoms to this.
Yeah.
And I told all of them, because a lot of these guys are actors or actresses, and they're in, like you said, they're in the industry. And I told all of them that I will write it in that if it is a movie deal and their character, they get an audition. Now, from there, I mean, no offense, but if Bam gets on camera and he's terrible,
that's
not good for a movie. So,
sure.
But I told them that I would write it in for at least they get a chance to audition for their face on the movie. So
sure.
If it's something they wanted, if we get to it, they're like, yeah, I'm not really interested in that. Then that's their prerogative. But that would be my biggest dream is that it's on screen. They kill it at auditions and we continue to create on screen what we created in the bit together.
Sure. Yeah. What was it like seeing your face on the cover of a book?
Well, for me personally, as a non-model, it was kind of surreal for me. I never thought I would have anything like that out there.
Yeah.
It's in book form and sold, you know, on Amazon and things like that, or anybody in the world can buy this thing.
Right.
That's
it's like a permanent imprint, right?
Yeah.
It made number one bestseller internationally at Amazon, yeah.
Wow. All right.
People that know me that don't even know they know me.
Right. They just think you're killing people.
But no, I mean, first of all, it was an honor to have something like that even be portrayed for as me on there. I think that's neat. And then to have it like tie into me personally makes it even neater. And then, like I said, all my family's read it and they see it and they think it's super cool. And I mean, that feels good. The gratification just to have people say, you know, that's neat. You're always doing weird stuff. Like I'm always doing something that they're like, only you would do something like that. And here we are again. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just, I am honored to be on there. That's neat to me.
Has it changed kind of the way you look at things a little bit?
No, I'm always, like I said earlier in the podcast, I'm just kind of sporadic. I'm down for whatever. And a lot of things that are abnormal present themselves to me.
Is that a part of you growing up?
It is. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, my life growing up was not the hardest life, but we were, you know, like most people, we were in Kemp, Texas, knockoff Texas, you know, didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Struggled, you know, my mom was an alcoholic. My dad struggled, you know, job to job, you know, paycheck to paycheck. I had three brothers. We were left alone a lot. You know, we were just, but to us, it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Now when I'm older, I'm like, maybe it wasn't the healthiest lifestyle, but you know, it made for good memories and things like that.
And creativity.
Yeah, so it's like I said, a lot of the stuff that I do now, I think stems from that because we were always on the go. I went to like 13 different schools,
yeah.
Always doing something different. So,
well, it's more about not being attached.
It's that
you don't want to be attached because you know that you're not going to stay there for a while.
Yeah, so that's all right. Yeah, you do make no matter what, how hard you try or whatever. And I was always, for whatever reason, super popular with people. You know, just listen to everybody, you get along with anybody.
Sure.
I think it's a red hair. I don't know what it is.
I think it is too. I'm right there with you.
I can cope with anybody. So you make friends and they have to move, and that always hurt, you know? So yeah, I guess the buildup over the years kind of, I don't dwell on one thing for a really long time. I got to jump and now come back.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, it's all like she said.
But it's a product.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the world's art today, so it's sure. And I don't have any regrets or anything. It just, that's the way it was. There's good, bad, ugly, but here we are, so.
Awesome, man. Let's talk a little bit about your prior books. You've got Beatrice, right? Uh-huh. Belongs to Me.
Yep.
So, tell us a little bit about that book.
That's actually the first book I wrote.
Okay.
So I just didn't publish it.
Okay.
It was my heart to publish it, but I was cautioned not to. Okay, I'll just say it. So good. Because it's meant to be the origin of all Disney fairy tales.
Okay.
Not intended to be a retelling of one fairy tale like we have out there. I'm like an OG Disney, like, diehard fan. Like, I can't tell you when our Disney trip has been because the kids don't know and they're probably going to listen to this. But we've got one coming and I'm like freaking out about it. Oh, I say old school Disney though, because things aren't always the same that they used to be. But anyways, so that was like kind of my idea with this book, was like, oh, I want, where do these fairy tales even come from? So I kind of wrote this book, but I did write it in a way where if you know nothing about Disney, you can still enjoy the book. But I was told, people who do know Disney, it's too close. You're gonna be in hot water with that romany. So I was cautioned, don't publish that.
Yeah.
It's been sitting in my computer done for years, and I was like, man, that's my heart book though. Like, that's the first one I ever like actually fully wrote.
Right.
And so I made the realization when all my life went to crap in 2024. I was like, you know what? If Disney comes after me, that means that my book is sold enough copies to get Disney's attention.
Yeah.
I'm good for that, because I will sell the rights to it. We'll publish, the rest of the books will take off because people know who I am.
Right.
And so I just had this moment that was like, man, to be on Disney's radar, I got to be selling a lot of books,
yeah,
making a lot of readers happy. So bring it on. So I published it. It's the most recently published, but it's not the first written. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No flack yet.
No what?
No flack yet?
No, not yet. No, they haven't heard from me. I just started authoring again. I just started doing this life again, like I should be, like, pushing myself to do things like this and market and, you know.
Yeah, good. Reborn?
Yeah.
Second book?
Technically, it's a third book.
Oh, okay.
I published Reset first.
Okay.
Second book ever written, first published, though. And that was a dream. And then
Reset was published first?
Yeah.
Okay.
First book published. And then inside of that book, I just took this cute little story about this mom telling this boy a bedtime story about a bee, and it's his favorite story because it's end of the world, it's dystopian, so there's no books left. So all he can hold on is the memory of the story. And my family and my publisher's like, you know, you wrote a children's book right there. And I was like, that's a synopsis. I was like, I'm not a children's book author. They're like, you need to do this. So I did. I published a children's book, so that's second. It's tied to Reset. And then I was done with that. I wanted to jump on this project. But the amount of people, and by people I mean readers, who were messaging me daily, telling me if I didn't get a second book out from Reset, they were done with me, because I didn't know that I left the first book on such a cliffhanger, but apparently 131 people were not happy that it was such a big cliffhanger. And so they're like demanding, we need a second. And so I stopped that project.
What Reset reminded me of is Demolition Man. You ever watch that movie? Where Sylvester Stallone is like a cop, and he gets frozen, right? And then he gets frozen for like 50 years, and then they have the villains also frozen, but he gets frozen because he's like a cop that colors outside the lines, so they freeze him and they freeze all these villains. Well, I can't remember the it's an African American actor that he did a bunch of films. I can't remember his name, but he gets unfrozen by somebody who's in the government. So the city is very, very progressive now. Like, and they're very uppity and very toodly-do, you know, and can't say any curse words. And if you get infractions and stuff like that, and it's very, Taco Bell is the highest form of food and all this other stuff. It's crazy. So anyway, this high rise person wants to come to prominence, and he unfreezes one of the villains. And so then the police don't know how to deal with this guy, because he's committing crimes from the 80s, and this is the 2040 or whatever. And so he's like doing all this crazy stuff and kicking people, and they're downloading like all this jujitsu and everything to him.
Okay.
And then so they unfreeze Sylvester Stallone, and he's
trying to apprehend this guy, and he's cursing and this, that, and the other. And I kind of relived that movie when I was reading it, because, you know, you have these infractions and everybody's trying to, like, get this one guy, like, can you just, you know, get your stuff together? And he can't, you know, and it's like, all right, we're ticking down, you know. So I liked it. But I didn't read Reborn.
Okay, so you know how Reset ends, though.
Yes.
People didn't like that.
Yeah.
They didn't like that. I know. So, my bad.
I'm not a super emotional reader, though. So it's like, that's the way you wanted to end. So.
Well, like, for me, like, it needed to happen the way that I did, and I wanted it to have the cliffhanger in case there was going to be another one.
Yes.
But it was like, I'm thinking 5 years, 6 years, I'll pick it back.
So Reborn starts with a reminiscent of, like...
And starts right where that left off.
Okay, gotcha.
Right where the final scene is. Yes. You pick back up to more detail that led into where they got in themselves to that situation.
Gotcha.
And you find out why.
But the mom is telling a story to the son?
No, that's from Reset. So in Reset...
And you're okay.
Gotcha, gotcha.
The story about a little bee that doesn't obey. That's my children's book.
Gotcha.
I made that a fair book.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought that was in Reborn.
Right, so Reborn comes out, and it's all through. And so it's so funny about that when you're talking, have you seen Demolition Man? No, I've never seen or read dystopia of any kind. In fact, when I had a dream, that's what Reset was a dream. And I was telling my mom, and my mom's like, ooh, that's something, a good dystopian book. I'm like, what? Dystopian. That's not my genre that I read. I didn't know what she was talking about. I didn't even know what that word was.
Yeah.
And so my mom had to clue me in on what dystopian was. And so I never read a dystopian book. So I wrote a full dystopian book without ever reading one or watching a dystopian movie.
Wow. Wesley Snipes was the bad guy. That's
go.
Who he is. Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, who the heck was it?
To you.
And it's going to kill me. I'll get it. But there's a girl there that... that played with Keanu Reeves with the bus. It's the same girl. Starts with the S.
Or Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock was in it too. Yeah. So I mean, it was a pretty cool film anyway. And then there's a couple other actors there that from mostly 80s actors, but it was still cool. All right, and then you have a collaboration.
Two actually.
Two? Okay. Two. So the NOLA.
NOLA, Hidden Secrets of NOLA, and then I have one where I was with 26 authors, and we did retellings of Little Red Riding Hood. So whatever genre, whatever way you wanted that to play out. And I did a story inside of that one. So anthologies are really small. And the only thing I didn't think of through with anthologies, and it's no judgment, but the authors aren't vetted. So there's some things that other authors will write that I'm like, whoa, that's too far for my comfort.
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, I didn't really think that through. So there's some wild stories mixed in. And you look at my story, that's really tame. And then you read that one, you're like,
yeah.
I write zero of the books that I'm saying that. So, but yeah, I'm into anthologies. In fact, NOLA, I formatted, did the cover for and everything myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're very cool. Were you the one that kind of asked for folks to come get involved, or were you and maybe another?
No. So fun fact, the girl who came down, the woman who came down and took all of our photos, she did that for free as a gift to me. She's one of my readers. Like, I met her through Reset.
Yeah.
And she just became a friend, and she's bought all my books and supported all of it. She came all the way down, states down, just to take our big photo shoot. She was great. And then she was like, I mean, I'm such an avid reader, but it would be a dream to publish a book one day. She's like, it's just such a scary thing. I said, well, you should be an anthology. It's a little story. It's not, it's like, get your feet wet. And she's like, that would be so cool. So I organized an anthology around her so she could have a debut as an author. And then I did all the formatting and everything for free, didn't charge anybody, so that way she could have that experience. And I would publish it on her birthday.
That's cool.
And now she's published another book on her own. So
yeah,
that's kind of how that anthology came about. So I organized all of it kind of as a thank you to her. I, like Bam, like to give to people when I can.
Yeah, for
sure.
I
have a lot of money, so I find ways that I can.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I I have a 9-to-5 that I have like 50 employees, and they're great. I mean, but it's like that other life where you have access, ability, and why not?
Yeah.
Like, why not do it? Why not? Before I did this, I was, during COVID, I've told this story quite a few times. I did sampling, like whiskey sampling or whatever sampling. And during COVID, everybody was drinking. Everybody was trying to be an adult. They wanted to get away from their kids, and like, it was a unique atmosphere for a lot of people. And the only way people could get away was and get in a gathering was these types of samplings, and you had to have an event. And yes, there was some spacing, but most people didn't. I mean, we didn't do it.
Yeah.
So that's, I kind of got started there. I've always been good at public speaking, but I kind of got started there and we did that. And then when COVID subsided, everybody kind of just went back to full-time softball, full-time soccer, full-time football, all that kind of stuff. And it dried up.
Yeah.
And then I had some friends that were like, hey, you should do this. And then I started thinking, well, what do I want to do? What job? Because I'm not going to do whiskey. There are too many things, too many people doing it, and I don't know enough about it. And I do know some, but not enough. And plus, who's going to care? So I started thinking about, like, what are people going to care about? Why not showcase, you know, local entrepreneurs, nonprofits, people that are making a difference? Yeah, we sprinkle in, you know, brewery or distillery every now and again, but mostly it's this. And we're blessed. We're booked until next year with a guest.
I know. I looked back, yeah, telling him, I was like, I reached out left May 2024. Yeah. I looked at our conversation. I'm like, well, that's how long I was.
So I posted on it. Everything Tyler, or everything is Tyler, or older.
Tyler.
All things Tyler. And I said, hey, we're looking for this. And you aren't part of that, but you said, hey, I'm an author, local author.
Yeah, I'm not
part of that. Yeah, yeah. Sounds like me. I'm not an actor. But and I said, you know what? That's great. I think it'd be great to have an author on. We haven't had one on. And, you know, it's, and so we can have, yeah, it was like a year ago, yeah, right? And I was like, hey, we're already booked out a pretty good bit. You had a lot going on then, and you're like, hey, I need some runway. And I said, hey, well, yeah, it sounds good to me. Well, same thing. Like, I booked a guy that's going to be, he get his cryotherapy, and it's going to be in August. And it's super interesting, you know, kind of field, but it was a year ago,
yeah,
you know? And so now I'm like messaging people going, hey, remember a year ago? Do you remember? So it's a unique type of a situation, but I've loved it. And it is kind of a way to get back through means that I'm capable of doing.
Yeah.
And it's changed me over 2 years. I know I'm different. I know I had different views. I even had different political views in a lot of ways. I'm not hardened to, like, my wife, she's like, we've reversed roles. Like, you're the softy. But I mean, when I'm work, it's a little different. But when I come home, I'm very, you know, I'm the one that's like, hey, I need some attention. I need some, you know, whatever. And she's like, get away. I'm trying to read. She's trying to read. Yeah. So, all right. We'll talk a little bit about what real life is like. You know, we'll start with you. What does a day in the life of Bam Walker, you know, look like?
Well, for me, I have, she's got me beat, but I have 4 kids.
Yeah.
So they take up a bulk of my time. But, you know, we run rampant right now with 4 kids, like a 16-year-old, 13, 12, 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So they're that age where one's not quite driving yet, the rest of them are all in sports or some kind of cheerleading or something. So we're just go all over town, everywhere at all times. And I was like, summer's coming, school's out, we'll get to chill. No, that's not true. So yeah, and then with the business on top of that, we're just busy, busy, busy. So I'm glad she messaged me and said, hey, you remember the
podcast? Like, oh, yeah. Hey, how about an hour and a half of just hanging out and talking?
Yeah. And like I told her before we started this, I said, my wife said, hey, I need you to go get our daughter and I got something to do. I need you to pick her up at 6:30. I was like, yeah. A podcast 6:30, so we're gonna figure something out. So we're always, you know,
right,
bouncing around. I know,
yeah,
like I always tell her, so sometimes we'll go 80-20. I'm 80, she's 20,
right,
60, I'm 40. We just figure it out when we're at it,
yeah,
and that's just how we do everything.
And when the 16-year-old gets to drive, it'll change a little bit because at first, I mean, they can't have, you know, anybody under the age of, you know, 17, 18 in a car,
yeah, like I said, just. He can just take himself to his early 5:30 band stuff,
yeah,
school time,
yeah,
or 2:00 in the morning coming home from Fort Worth football game.
Yeah, yeah.
He can just be able to take himself home instead of me on the way up there.
That'll be big. That'll be
big.
So that extra drive from, you know, I'm out in Flint all the way to Legacy.
Right.
The rest of the schools are right there, you know, right down the road from me, and his is just way out the beaten path.
Yeah.
So
you're trying quite a bit. You're trying to get back into authoring. What does that look like?
Telling people I'm an author.
Yeah, telling people.
I mean, truly, like, growing my Facebook. I mean, I do marketing full time, right, for a living. So the last thing I want to do was market.
Yeah.
Also, you know, believe it or not, the book industry is expensive to publish.
Well,
$5,000 for me to publish a book. And then you make, if you sell an ebook, I make 22 cents.
Right.
If I sell a paperback, I make $2.
Wow.
So if you're not pushing yourself every day and like telling people and trying to get events like this, or, you know, pitching to movie people or pitching to this person. I mean, I sent my books to Paris Hilton, like, no lie. Like, that's the truth. Sent me her home address. It was the wildest thing ever. But I'm like constantly trying to, like, pushing hard. And like with my first book that came out, I was like 90 to nothing every day in a book group. It's a full-time job just to tell people.
Yeah.
You're just hoping the right person sees it. Like, truly, that's, in this industry, you just have to, and you know, most authors right now that have become successful as an indie author, they publish 10 before something big happened, like, truly. So I'm just back out there trying to book events, go to book events, sell my books, actually do something with it.
When's the last time you pitched a book? Your book? This book?
Yesterday.
Really? Okay.
He did.
So at a book club, or?
No. Pitched it pretty high up that I can't talk about right now.
Yeah.
I never know. My motto is, it's probably not going to happen, but I'm at least throw it as high as it can and hope something sticks.
Okay.
And I, when I coach my authors that, I tell them, you know, to just go for the stars and hope for something. Because if you're not doing anything, you know, nothing's going to happen, right?
Divorce,
not doing anything, nothing's going to happen. So, but I just booked 2 book events. I'm doing podcasts today.
Yeah.
I'm opening up a shop and I'm renting out booth space in Bullard at a brand new boutique that's opening. So all my books are going to be out there.
Nice.
You know. I have 2 bookstores that are now picking up my books out in Decatur, Louisiana, et cetera.
Okay.
I was like, 2025, I'm being an author again.
It's right.
It's not bringing in the money. So at the end of the day, you know, you do what pays the bills, and that's my job. And then my kids come next, and then I fit it in if I can. So,
yeah. I'll definitely share. That's where I grew up, in Louisiana. So I'll definitely share it. I don't know a ton of people in Decatur, but I got a couple friends that live there. Make sure it gets it in. They get the Spotify.
So we, on my children's book, there's a bee, right? So there's a girl, she hand crochets bees to the bee to sell. And she has become just a reader, just a friend, just, it's just the Lord just sends you those type of people. But she's opened up 2 bookshops in Decatur, and then she buys out my books and she sells them and then just keeps the money. So I give her a 30% discount off the price of the book, and then she buys them from me, and then she turns around and sells them. So she's went from 1 shop and now she's opened up 2.
Wow.
She's pretty good up there.
Yeah.
So selling my books for me.
That's amazing.
I just ship her books and then she sends me a check. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Started all of that this year, so.
Okay, so what's new, Bam? You got anything new on the horizon? Anything that the listeners need to know about?
Well,
we're always expanding everything at all times, it seems like, with Nortex, Ramsey, Cleaning, and she shows up, everything's just kind of always going.
Right.
As far as something new,
not really.
For once.
I just heard it.
No,
please don't say that.
No, we both taken avenues to prevent that. So that's never.
Right.
I took that avenue a while back too.
We had two.
We were happy with 2. 2 boys, and a wife got a tube stud, and then somehow she came pregnant with 3.
Oh, I'm like,
doctor, we got.
Yeah, I'm gonna see you.
Yeah, what's going on here? And then after 3. She got on what's called the depot shot and got pregnant with 4. I was like, is it right there? I mean, what's going on here? Is it right there? So at that point, I was like, I will hop, skip, and jump. I will clad, happy to go.
It's time to go.
Because before then, you know, as a guy, we're always apprehensive. At first, I was like, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
But at 4, and which was finally our girl, like, boys, and I was walking here smiling. I didn't care at that point.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah, when I started reading about, like, all the negative side effects there was to birth control, and my wife was asking me about, like, hey, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and the risk is going up, and do you want to have kids? And I was like, I don't have any kids of my own, you know, I just adopted my son, and that was enough for me, you know, and so I said, no, I don't want to start over at 40. And she was like, well, then you need to go in. So that way we can start the process, because I'm not doing anything with my body until you do something with yours. And I was like, done. How long does it take? And she was like, 45 seconds. I said, done. Numb me up and we'll do what we got to do. And so, for sure. All right, what's next? Other than being an author and pushing for the stars and trying to turn fly balls into home runs.
Right. Yeah.
What else?
And that's really it. Like, my business is finally stable. It's good.
Do you market for companies or most?
We have 21 clients.
21 clients. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, local. All.
So you just create like ads and.
We actually don't do ads. We don't run ads.
Okay.
Hot take. We are the only social media company that says don't use ads.
Okay.
So we do all organic social media.
Impression.
Focused. Yeah. We do websites. So we're a full marketing agency.
Awesome.
It started with social media. Actually, the way it started is I needed to market my books as an author years ago, and I wasn't even on Facebook.
Yeah.
I was 34, not on Facebook, because I just didn't have the time. And my publisher said, but you need to be on Facebook to sell books. And I'm like, ew. I literally said, ew, Laurie. Like, I don't understand that. I'm so busy with my kids. So anyways, I reached out on All Things Tyler, and I was like, I need somebody to help me with social media. I don't know what I'm doing. And my now business partner was like, I can help you. And she had a full-time job, and she was just doing it on the side. So I was actually her first client. And I said, hey, I got 6 kids. I can't afford you. Teach me what you can, then I'm going to fire you. I just told her, like, I'm just being transparent with you. So we worked together for 3 months, and her business, her side hustle started growing, and she needed assistance. I was like, hear me out. I'm not a social media person, but I think I can help you. I'm not inept, and I know how to do some of this stuff. And then 6 months later, we were co-partners, and now the business has 21 clients of 13 employees, and it's insane.
That is insane.
It is insane.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, it's real wild, right? So we just look back and go, how did you do this?
What's the name of the company?
Cryer & Co. Media.
Okay.
But we did it through the way you do it. Referrals, treating clients right, not getting messed up in the drama, because believe it or not, there's social media drama in the industry, which is so wild to me.
Yeah.
Also, because I'm like, curdy, I'm like, grow up, we're fine. Like,
right.
It's not that serious. But we don't get in the middle of that. We keep our heads down, take care of our clients, deal with the best job that we can do. And word of mouth is our bread and butter, too, because it's just, means you've done something right. So we don't do ads for ourselves. We don't do ads for our clients. We believe in organic reach. And if we hustle harder and do our job right, then it's going to get the results that it needs to.
Yeah, I may need to reach out to you guys, man. Y'all got the hustle going on. That's the thing. It's like I hustle in my 9-to-5. And it's a lot of it's day in, day out hustle. I'm in the pawn industry, PAWN. So like that's what you do is you loan people money, you buy stuff, you sell stuff. You sell layaways, you sell warranties, you sell all this other stuff. And then it's like, time out after that's done, and it's more just having conversations and stuff like that. But I do think that a part of this needs some of that. And so I may be reaching out to you sooner than later, honestly.
Okay.
All right. My favorite part of the podcast. Let's give some shout outs. Who wants to go first?
Okay, how are
you? Yes.
So honestly, I feel like even it sounds cheesy, my first shout out has to be to Bam. It's not actually his first name, but Bam Walker, because the book turned in a direction that I wasn't writing it to turn. And he, championed that. He's been down for whatever. And the big dream would be, I start breaking in the money and I can pay him handsomely. And spread out, he's all pumping tear because mama ain't making no money on the book yet. But so honestly, I'm going to just shout out to him because he's been super, super involved in the process. And I appreciate that. There'd be scenes that aren't written correctly if it wasn't for him. Shout out to his wife because she's been like a champion of this project the whole time.
Yeah.
And I have a great relationship. And so I just thank the Walker family. And then honestly, even though I know it's probably cliche to do your spouse, I never felt like because of my childhood trauma that I was ever going to be good enough to publish a book. Have no self-confidence in life, anything that I do, truly. And my husband, when I had the dream for Reset, I'd already written Beatrice that he loved it. I had the dream for Reset. He went, I'm done with this. Just publish a book. And I'm like, I just can't. And he's like, you're going to do it like you don't have a choice. So he kind of choke-pulled me, pushed me into it, made it happen, made me make the phone calls, made me do everything, kind of stayed on me for that first one until I caught the fire of publishing. So, if he hadn't been there, then it would have happened. And then of course, all of the people in my life who's, watch my kids so I can come and do events or go with me to book events to sell books. Because when I go to book events, I don't sell books. I feed faces for kids for free. And I let other people, because I can't say, please spend money on me. I can't do it. I can't do it. So I bring other people to do that for me. And I'm like, you can stay, I'll pay for your food and I'll pay for your hotel room, but you gotta sell my books so I can't do it. So everybody who's come and helped me do that, my mom comes, she watches the kids. My stepdad's watching the kids right now. It takes a whole lot of people for me to be out here trying to do. And I feel really guilty because this is a, a passion and a dream.
Yeah.
It's not making money right now. It's truly, purely full selfish. So wasn't for everybody involved to just kind of help push and shape that, then
yeah.
I'd be able to do it. So, and I didn't have dreams growing up. So being able to live out this dream right now and have these moments, and it's like, there's not a price on it. It's truly priceless for me. So my village, I just want to thank my village.
Yeah, for sure. It's awesome.
Me, I'm going to be cliche and cheesy, but I'll return the favor, because without this, I don't have another weird avenue. I'm starting to run out of those. The older I get, my kids are taking those over.
Yeah.
But this one snuck up on me, and I was like, oh, something new and something cool. And without her and her family, I wouldn't have the opportunity. And I have to vouch for Jordan. He is your biggest cheerleader. Because
yeah.
We were there, he's like, I'm not just saying it as a husband. He's just really selling everything. Like, I believe you, man. I promise. I believe you. But he was. He's the biggest cheerleader for you. But yeah, thanks to y'all doing this and just giving me a chance to do this. Let me feel, some kind of gratitude towards something I didn't know was even there. I'm going to be cheesy and shout out my wife to her. She'll kill me if I don't. So.
Yeah. Don't worry. She can clean up the scene, right?
Yeah, she threw me out. But now, fair thing she does with the kids. And like right now, I was supposed to be picking up my daughter and I had this and she had forgot. So she picks up the slide, like I said, where we have it very often. So, and then my father-in-law and Jacob, the one that had down the company before, and his wife, Laverne, I'd like to shout them out just for giving us a path when we were younger and kind of guiding us in the right direction. And my dad for raising me the way that I was raised to become the person I am, Sean Walker. That's it.
It's awesome, man. Feels good. I like to appreciate people.
Say it out loud very often.
It doesn't, yeah, you're right.
It doesn't come out your mouth, but you think it.
You're right.
Say it.
You're right.
And I should direct it to him, and I know I'm going to make him listen to it.
I'm going to give a shout out to my buddies in Garden Valley that pushed me to do this. I haven't given them a shout out in 50 some odd episodes. They kind of pushed me to do this. It's kind of gone a different path than what I thought it was going to go. We're sitting in my bar and we're talking about this, and this is nothing like what we talked about. But I feel better about it than what I did then. I feel like we're going down a great path and we're providing a voice to and an impression, like you said, and it's an avenue that people don't have to pay for. And luckily I have some companies that believe in it and they help us with that. So I'm very grateful for that. So I'm grateful for those guys that pushed me into it and the folks, the companies that are confident enough to say this is worth it. So it's awesome, man.
Huge. Yep.
It was awesome. Was it as bad as you thought?
I'm always nervous in the beginning. So I was class clown in high school, all the fun stuff.
Very cool, girls. Yeah, very cool. I had a great time with you guys.
Yeah,
it's an awesome story. Awesome story behind the book. It's always great to see the folks behind these masterpieces and how it developed and all that good stuff. Thanks for coming on.
Yep,
really appreciate
it. Wild backstory. So I like when people can find that out about it. Because typically, and he actually screamed to get that shot. I'm like, no, better scream out loud. And Gary needed the apartment in the downtown where the homeless people.
Right?
Literally, there was a homeless guy sleeping around the corner. And I was like, you got to scream. But, when you walk by, you don't know his story and how it all came to be.
Right.
I love sharing.
And if anybody's curious about, I know we kind of talk about it. I kind of don't like talking about it like forly because a lot of people hush hush, frown, but I think it needs to be talked about is like crime scene cleaning. It's like it's one of those things where you don't talk about that. It don't need to be talked about. It's something that happens and you forget about it. But a lot of people don't know how to handle it when it does happen. So if somebody's curious about seeing what I do and why and things like that, my TikTok is GingerDaddy51 because I made it before I was a crime scene cleaner and I thought it'd be funny. But that's it. If anyone get on there and kind of check it out and see.
Let's tag it whenever we get this episode done.
To you.
Yeah, send it over to me.
You're
part of the page I saw today where you joined the page. And
yeah,
so we'll
I was like, oh, then
we'll tag it. Or you can tag it under the comments and we'll make sure that it gets its rifle setting. Yeah, for sure.
Ginger Daddy 51. Yeah. Like, who is this?
Ginger Daddy 51. And we can also tag your business too. And your marketing business if you want. It's your choice. But we can tag in whoever we want to. That's the great thing about this. It's ours.
Yeah.
This whole thing is ours. So
congrats.
Well, thank you.
That's a really dinner. It's awesome. Thing.
Yeah.
Do you need us to do anything?
No. I'm gonna go ahead and announce who we have on next. That's great. Savannah, you're the first person to go ahead and adjourn before we start. But hey, you're a trailblazer, right? All right. So thank you guys so much for listening and watching. We'll have Spotify here pretty soon, probably Saturday. And then probably 3 to 4 weeks for YouTube. And our next guests are, they're boutique owners. So these folks are hardworking people that don't like make a lot of money, but here's an opportunity to kind of showcase their business, how hard they work, who they have to reach out to, what vendors. Like it's a lot to do when you are running a boutique. And so I'm gonna have two boutique owners together that are gonna kind of share their thoughts and wisdom. We've been having this plan for a very long time. I know both parties pretty well. They worked their tails off, and I wanna give them their opportunity to tell their story. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much.